to day 45 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, through the Bible in a year. Let's return to Numbers 16 through 18. Revolt of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, along with Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliab, and On, son of Peloth, son of Reuben, took 250 Israelite men, leaders of the congregation, chosen from the assembly, well-known men, and they confronted Moses. They assembled against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. All the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Then he spoke to Korah and all his congregation, saying, "In the morning the Lord will make known who is his and who is holy and who will be allowed to approach him. The one whom he will choose, he will allow to approach him. Do this, take censers, Korah, and all your congregation, and tomorrow put fire in them and lay incense on them before the Lord, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the holy one. You Levites have gone too far." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you Levites, it is too little for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to allow you to approach him in order to perform the duties of the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the congregation and serve them. He has allowed you to approach him and all your brother Levites with you, yet you seek the priesthood as well. Therefore, you and all your congregation have gathered together against the Lord. What is Aaron that you rail against him?" Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and they said, "We will not come. It is too little that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you must also lord it over us. It is clear you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields of vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come." Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Pay no attention to their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, and I have not harmed any one of them." And Moses said to Korah, "As for you and all your congregation, be present tomorrow before the Lord, you and they and Aaron, and let each one of you take his censer and put incense on it, and each one of you present his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, you also and Aaron, each his censer." So each man took his censer, and they put fire in the censers and laid incense on them. And they stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Then Korah assembled the whole congregation against them at the entrance of the tent, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from this congregation so that I may consume them in a moment." They fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one person sin and you become angry with the whole congregation?" And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the congregation, saying, 'Get away from the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.'" So Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram. The elders of Israel followed him. He spoke to the congregation, saying, "Turn away from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, or you will be swept away for all their sins." So they got away from the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the entrances of their tents, together with their wives, their children, and their little ones. And Moses said, "This is how you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do these works. It has not been of my own accord. If these people die a natural death, or if a natural fate comes on them, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord." As soon as he finished speaking all these words, the ground under them was split apart. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, along with their households, everyone who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So with all that belonged to them, went down alive into Sheol. The earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel around them fled at their outcry, for they said, "The earth will swallow us too." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to take the censers out of the blaze, then scatter the fire far and wide. For the censers of these sinners have become holy at the cost of their lives. Make them into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, for they presented them before the Lord and they became holy. Thus they shall be a sign to the Israelites." So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers that had been presented by those who were burned, and they were hammered out as a covering for the altar, as a reminder to the Israelites that a no outsider who is not of the descendant of Aaron shall approach to offer incense before the Lord, so as not to become like Korah and his congregation, just as the Lord had said to him through Moses. On the next day, however, the whole congregation of the Israelites rebelled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And when the congregation had assembled against them, Moses and Aaron turned towards the tent of meeting. The cloud had covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from this congregation, so that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer, put fire on it from the altar, and lay incense on it, and carry it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun." So Aaron took it as Moses had ordered and ran into the middle of the assembly where the plague had already begun among the people. He put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. When the plague was stopped, Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The budding of Aaron's rod. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one for each ancestral house, from all the leaders of their ancestral houses. Write each man's name on his staff and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi, for there shall be one staff for the head of each ancestral home. Place them in the tent of meeting before the covenant where I meet with you, and the staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout. This I will put a stop to the complaints of the Israelites that they continually make against you." Moses spoke to the Israelites, and all their leaders gave him staffs, one for each leader according to their ancestral houses. 12 staffs, and the staff of Aaron was among them. So Moses placed the staff before the Lord in the tent of the covenant. When Moses went into the tent of the covenant on the next day, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted. It put forth buds, produced blossoms, and bore ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the Israelites, and they looked, and each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the staff of Aaron before the covenant to be kept as a warning to rebels, so that you may make an end of their complaints against me, or else they will die." Moses did so, just as the Lord commanded him, and so he did. The Israelites said to Moses, "We are perishing, we are lost, all of us are lost. Everyone who approaches the tabernacle of the Lord will die. Are we all to perish?" Responsibility of priests and Levites. The Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your ancestral house with you shall bear responsibility for offenses connected with the sanctuary, while you and your sons alone shall bear responsibility for offenses connected with the priesthood. So bring with you also your brothers of the tribe of Levi, your ancestral tribe, in order that they may be joined to you and serve you while you and your sons with you are in front of the tent of the covenant. They shall perform duties for you and for the whole tent, but they must not approach either the utensils of the sanctuary or the altar, or else they and you will die. They are attached to you in order to perform the duties of the tent of meeting. For all the services of the tent, no outsider shall approach you. You yourself shall perform the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, so that wrath may never again come upon the Israelites. It is I who now take your brother Levites from among the Israelites. They are now yours as a gift dedicated to the Lord to perform the service of the tent of meeting. But you and your sons, with your diligently perform your priestly duties in all that concerns the altar and the area behind the curtain. I give your priesthood as a gift. Any outsider who approaches shall be put to death. The priest's portion. The Lord spoke to Aaron, I have given you charge of the offerings made to me, all the holy gifts of the Israelites. I have given them to you and your sons as a priestly portion due to you in perpetuity. This shall be yours from the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs that they render to me is a holy, most holy thing. Whether grain offering, purification offering, or guilt offering shall belong to you and your sons. As a most holy thing, you shall eat it. Every male may eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours. I have given to you, together with your sons and daughters, as a perpetual due, whatever is set aside from the gifts of all elevation offerings of the Israelites. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat them. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the grain, the choice produce that they give to the Lord, I have given to you. The first fruits of all that is in their land that they bring to the Lord shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat of it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. The first issue of the womb of all creatures, human and animal, that is offered to the Lord shall be yours. But the firstborn of human beings you shall redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. Their redemption price reckoned from 1 month of age, you shall fix at 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, that is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem, as they are holy. You shall dash their blood on the altar and turn their fat into smoke as an offering by fire for a pleasing odor to the Lord. But their flesh shall be yours, just as the breast that is elevated as the right thigh are yours. All the holy offerings that the Israelites present to the Lord, I have given to you, together with your sons and daughters, as a perpetual due. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord for you and your descendants as well. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no allotment in their land, nor shall you have any share among them. I am your share and your possessions among the Israelites. To the Levites, I have given every tithe in Israel for a possession in return for the service that they perform, the service in the tent of meeting. From now on, the Israelites shall no longer approach the tent of meeting, or else they will incur guilt and die. But the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear responsibility for their own offenses. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. But among the Israelites, they shall have no allotment, because I have given to the Levites as their portion the tithe of the Israelites, which they sent apart as an offering to the Lord. Therefore, I have said of them that they shall have no allotment among the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall say to the Levites, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe that I have given you, from them for your portion, you shall set apart an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. It shall be reckoned to you as your gift, the same as the grain of the threshing floor and the fullness of the winepress. Thus you also shall have set apart an offering to the Lord from all the tithes that you receive from the Israelites, and from them you shall give the Lord's offering to the priest Aaron. Out of all the gifts to you, you shall set apart every offering due to the Lord. The best of all of them is the part to be consecrated. Say also to them, when you have set apart the best of it, then the rest shall be reckoned to the Levites as a produce of the threshing floor and as a produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your payment for your service in the tent of meeting. You shall incur no guilt by reason of it. When you have offered the best of it, but you shall not profane the holy gifts of the Israelites on pain of death. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? As we read through Numbers, we hear of rebellion and disobedience. We read of God's assignment of the Levites as priests. As we think about what it means to believe in God, we have access to blessings, yet more responsibility. We see that the consequences of disobedience by God's chosen people are great. Faith by itself is not the goal, it is faith that guides action. Now let's move to Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2. Personal greetings. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints and help her in whatever way she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their neck for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the church of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Aphaenetus, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Israelites who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stanches. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my fellow Israelite, Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Perses, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philegus, Julia, Nereus, and his sisters, and Olympas, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the church of Christ greet you. Final instructions. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep an eye on those who create dissensions and hindrances in opposition to the teachings that you have learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. For your obedience is known to all. Therefore, I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and guileless in what is evil. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my fellow Israelites. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Aristus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greets you. Final doxology. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Salutation. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Divisions in the church. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no division among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards, but many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. In contrast, God is why you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Proclaiming Christ crucified. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech and wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. The true wisdom of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are being destroyed, but we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Of the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? Paul states in 1 Corinthians 2, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? I am often reminded that God is larger than we will ever understand, and that we will never fully know the will of God or comprehend the actions of God. Humility requires that we enter into relationship with God from a space of openness and learning. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.